This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from Tan Talk Radio Network studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, where, wow, it is the first time since May that I actually have a sweater on because it is cold outside. We are very thankful to everybody who sent us a little cool weather because it really puts us in a Thanksgiving mood for any of us who are from up north. So I love it. And it's just so wonderful. You know, at the bottom of the hour, Mary Higgins Clark is going to be my guest, and she is, of course, a queen of suspense, and it's always so thrilling to talk to her. But so I wasn't sure exactly when I got the news that she would be on today. I wasn't sure exactly what time. So I went ahead and taped an interview with an absolutely delightful young woman who has written a book that is just perfect for this time of the year. So I'm going to play that tape and then wait for Mary Higgins to call. She's actually going to call in around 10:35. And so then we'll talk to her about her new book, which is a marvelous book, and it's Mary Higgins Clark and You Don't Own Me. And this is in her series that she's doing with Alifair Burke. It's a wonderful, wonderful series. And this is, I think, one of the very best books that she's ever written, because she gets better. You know, she's 91 years old, and she gets better and better. And it's so much fun to look at her webpage, because at the very front of the webpage, she has not exactly a countdown, but they update it, I think, regularly. And she's now way over 100,000 books. And so it's really exciting to be able to talk to her. But I'm going to play in a minute the interview I had with this lovely, lovely author. And I'm holding up the book for anyone who's on YouTube, because we are on YouTube. And it is just perfect for the season, because it is called Eat, Feel, Fresh, a contemporary plant-based Ayurvedic cookbook. And it's amazing. When I spoke to her, I just found her so enchanting. So I went to her webpage, and I really like her webpage. It's called I Am Sahara Rose, and her name is Sahara Rose Kitabi. So you just have to look up I Am Sahara Rose. And it is a wonderful, wonderful website. She has there a little mind-body type quiz that you can take to discover what type of personality you are in relationship to food. And it's fascinating. And I've been going through it and you know, comparing the types of people that she talks about. She introduces the three doshas, or the mind-body types. And so I've been reading each of them and seeing if the personalities that she writes about are actually, you know, related to the people I know. And I was really amazed that they are. And so it's a wonderful site to go to. And there's three body types. There are the kapha and the pitta, which sounds not exactly pita bread, but pitta, and vata. And it's fascinating how close she comes to the exact personalities of the people I know, sort of match this personality. So I think you will find it very interesting. And that's her website, is I Am Sahara Rose. And what a beautiful, beautiful name. And her last name is Kitabi. And she is just wonderful. And so I play the tape, I'll tell you a few of my favorite recipes that I have discovered in this book. And the nice thing, we all have our traditions for Thanksgiving, things that we eat year after year. I'm still doing the exact same recipes that my mother did years ago, and I'm sure my My grandmother did. So we have the almost the exact same food every year. But I do try to introduce one new thing every once in a while. Well, almost every year I introduce one new thing and see if it's something that people like. And there are some recipes in this book that are really ideal for Thanksgiving. So I will talk about them after I play the tape. So Ed, you can go ahead and play the tape of Sahara Rose, and then we'll talk about her book when we finish.
I've been so excited with this book for the past few weeks, and it's been keeping me busy because it is a cookbook, and it is absolutely fantastic. The author's name is Sahara Rose Kitabi, and the foreword for this book is written by no other than Deepak Chopra, and the name of the book is Eat, Feel Fresh. And I am so happy to welcome you to the program, Sahara.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Patsy. It's a pleasure.
Well, I love this book. It is, first, it's so beautiful. And you are so beautiful in the book. There are lots of photos of you. It is a marvelous cookbook.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
But it is so much more than that, because you have to tell us why. It is also a cookbook that you can take and really change your life.
Yes. So for me, food is something so much more than just what we eat, so much more than calories, but really it changes the fabric of our being. And Ayurveda is a health system, but it looks at the mind and the body as interconnected. So the foods you eat impact the way that you feel. And each of us has a unique mind-body type that we were born with. Some of us are born more airy, which is more creative, inspired, able to think outside the box. But on the other side, maybe we have a lot of ideas and things that we want to do that we don't really come around to. We may suffer from anxiety, insomnia. This is the dosha, the mind-body type that I had that led me to Ayurveda. Some of us are more fiery. We are ambitious, hardworking, organized, disciplined, structured. But sometimes when life doesn't go our way, we can become frustrated and agitated and just annoyed. And the other side of that is that you can also really direct your direction the way that you want to be going. So there's both sides for each body type. And then the last one is Kapha, the earth type. And these are people who are calm, grounded, peaceful, loving. They often put other people in front of themselves, which can lead to sometimes burning yourself out and bending over backwards for people. And when you're giving off all this energy to others, then you're not filling up your own cup. And oftentimes that leads to emotional eating and weight gain, feeling lethargic and tired. So the foods in this recipe book are not just for your physical body, but they can change these exact personality traits to make you more balanced.
And the beautiful thing about this, I love healthy cookbooks written by somebody who knows what it's like to not eat healthy, because there was a time in your life where junk food might have played a part. And so I think it's always nice when somebody comes, if they've been healthy all their life, and then you say, oh, well, they don't understand what it's like to eat a dozen donuts, for example.
Oh, yeah, I know what that's like. I know what all of that's like. And that's why I needed it, because I grew up eating so much junk food, and I eventually was overweight. I had really bad allergies that turned into asthma. I wasn't able to even play outside as a kid because I would get such bad asthma attacks that I'd have to go to the emergency room. I spent many Mother's Days in the emergency room. So no doctor had ever told me my allergies were related to the foods I was eating. But when I shifted my diet since then, I've never had an asthma attack or allergies.
Well, you know, Ayurveda is such an interesting concept because it has been here for almost forever, because it is so ancient. And long before anybody was thinking about eating healthy, Ayurveda was here, and somewhere along the line we got all this processed food in our systems. So tell us a little bit about the history of Ayurveda and why it is so important. By the way, I love how you talk about the alkaline you have the alkaline chart in there, which is really, really important in good eating.
Yes. So Ayurveda is the world's oldest health system, and it's the sister science of yoga. And it really looks, again, at the mind-body connection. And The practices in Ayurveda have been tried and true for thousands of years, but we needed a modern upgrade. And that's because our food system is so different from that of even 50 years ago, let alone 5,000 years ago. We're exposed to so many more toxins, GMOs, pesticides, hormones. So we need to further alkalize our diets. Alkaline foods are foods that are going to make you more balanced in your pH levels. And an acidic environment is what causes diseases. So most of us, our pH levels are a little bit too acidic, and we need to move more towards alkaline. Alkalizing foods are fruits, vegetables, things that naturally grow from the earth. So it's not just Ayurveda, but looking at it with modern nutritional science and how we can alkalize our diet to boost up serotonin, the happiness hormone, which is stored in our gut, and really showing that the way that you digest is the way that you feel.
In fact, they've proven in the past few years that it is the gut bacteria that really makes a difference of whether you lose weight or don't lose weight.
Yes, and yes, absolutely. Most people are missing that. They're trying to eat all the right foods, but they haven't resolved their gut and digestive issues. And it's even related to autism and many other mental diseases, depression. All of this can really be solved by going into your gut and seeing what the issue is there.
The wonderful thing about this cookbook is you use some, you know, modern ingredients, but yet your recipes are so, so good. I can't tell which one is the best, but that roasted cauliflower and lentil tacos has to be one of the best.
I wanted to make foods that people are familiar with. Tacos, pizza, pancakes, brownies, foods that we love, foods that we're not willing to let go of, nor should we. But how can we upgrade those? How can we make them more alkaline, gluten-free, plant-based, and make them right for our dosha? So I've included spices like ginger, which is really good for metabolism, cumin, which is really good if you have a hard time digesting beans, which a lot of us do. It helps eliminate the gas buildup that happens. So all of these spices can be thrown into your favorite ingredients, your favorite recipes, and it makes it more Ayurvedic as well as more medicinal.
Your mother's Persian, right? Yes. So did you find, because I lived in Iran for some years, do you found some influence from her cooking?
Yes, very much so. So when I started to learn about Ayurveda, I was so drawn to this ancient approach to eating, and I realized it was so similar to the way that my grandmother used to eat. She always would tell me, oh, it's cold, don't have this cold salad, it's going to be too cooling for your body. And even in many other cultures, in Latin culture, they have this concept of cooling and warming foods. So it's really not just Ayurvedic, but it is global. And when you look at the energy of foods and you look at the blue zones, the areas around the world with the world's longest lifespans, you see that they're all looking at it in the same way.
Also in this book, everything is so beautiful, and I think that more and more, and it's wonderful, the younger generation I've discovered, they are more into food in having it look beautiful. They have parties, and it's really, they get together, and they have parties, and they like to bring food, and they like to have it look beautiful. And all of this, like the chai bliss balls and some of the desserts, they are so beautiful.
Yeah, I really believe that we eat with our eyes, and when food is delicious and beautiful, we're more likely to want to have more of it. And the great thing about vegetables is they're so colorful, they're so beautiful as they are. So when we can really just keep the intact fruit and vegetable as it is and let that color and that texture shine through, there really isn't that much we need to do.
And I love how you've adapted the kind of desserts that people love, like Rice Krispie treats, and put it in a whole new frame and made it into a healthy dessert.
Yeah, of course. You know, we don't want to give up on these things that we've grown up eating. We just want to upgrade them and make them work for today's time. So this isn't a diet. This isn't a new thing you have to go buy new groceries for and put it on your fridge and forget about it a week later. This is really a lifestyle approach.
Well, how exciting was it to, you know, I know when you were young, you became a follower of Deepak Chopra. How exciting is it to be able to meet the person that you've admired so much?
Yeah, I mean, it's still very surreal just because I would always listen to his audiobooks and do his meditations growing up. But it really just shows that I'm on the right path, that I'm able to get someone that I look up to so much support. And And just to continue this Ayurvedic knowledge, the knowledge of meditation, bringing it more into the mainstream to help more people.
Well, I think it's a beautiful book, an absolutely wonderful book. I think people should give this, if you're going, Thanksgiving is coming up, and if you're going to visit somebody for Thanksgiving, this is an ideal book to bring. And while you're at it, bring one of the desserts along, because they will really appreciate it. And I think if anybody who's planning a big Thanksgiving dinner, to incorporate some of these healthy, beautiful, and absolutely delicious desserts and other side dishes, like the cauliflower casserole, you know, all of these things are just, they work so well for Thanksgiving.
Yes, they work so well. Well, thank you so much for sharing, and I hope your audience really enjoys it.
Yeah, it has just been so much fun with this book. When I first was told about this book, I said, well, that sounds interesting, but I didn't expect it to be so absolutely delightful. Sahara is just charming, and as I said, you must go to her website, which is I Am Sahara Rose. And throughout the book, there are photos of her and her family and her friends, which just makes it an interesting and immersive experience to read. And the photographs, of course, are absolutely beautiful. It's a Nat Geo book. And there are just so many recipes, as I mentioned, that work so well for Thanksgiving and for any holiday that's coming up. One of the things, of course, she uses quite often in her recipes are sweet potatoes. And as you know, sweet potatoes are just one of the best foods that you can eat. But she has so many wonderful ways to use them. And one of them is called sun butter sweet potato brownies. And it's unexpected. You don't expect it, but they are rich and they are creamy. And you will really like them. And there's also a chickpea cookie dough that is amazing. I had never thought of using chickpeas to make cookies. And again, chickpeas are so healthy for you. So it's a wonderful, wonderful recipe. And the photographs, I've been trying to decide which one I'm going to make. As I said, I always make something new. I'm going to make one of the sweet potato recipes, because that is just beautiful. And the one that I'm going to make, and you'll be able to see it, I'm going to make it for Thanksgiving, and it's called sweet potato pesto pizza. And the recipe is just so intriguing. As I was reading it, your mouth starts watering when you're reading it. You think, wow. And then you look at the picture, and the photograph is absolutely gorgeous. And you just want to try this recipe. And so I'm going to make that. I'm going to make, I haven't decided, I'm going to make, I think, the chimichurri cauliflower rice bowl. It's so beautiful. That's one of the lovely things of why it's so perfect for Thanksgiving is photographs in here are of, well, the food is beautiful and colorful, and I think that's one of the things that makes eating fun, especially at the holidays. So as I said, she uses a colorful squash and spinach leaves all sorts of wonderful things like cranberries and so, but she uses it in unusual ways, and so it really brings the foods to life. You know, lively. They're just so much fun to look at. Then you want to eat them. So I'm going to make a couple of them, and I'm going to try to imitate her exact plating and see if I can imitate the photographs. And I will put that one after Thanksgiving. When I have nothing to do, I will sit and I will put the photographs on my Facebook page, and you'll be able to see if I match the photos in this lovely National Geographic book. But it's one of the fun things. And again, as I mentioned in the interview, if you're going to give a gift this for the holidays, or you're visiting somebody, or you want to send a thank you gift for a lovely Thanksgiving dinner, this is really a perfect book. Well, all Nat Geo books are great for giving, and they are so reasonably priced. Sometimes I'm just absolutely amazed. They are not that expensive. You can buy for the price of a few paperback books, you get these lovely, gorgeous Nat Geo books. And so I hope that you will think about starting a new tradition. I know most people don't give gifts on Thanksgiving, and there are so many opportunities to give gifts. But I think Thanksgiving is a time when you want to be thankful, and I think anybody would really love this book by Zahero Skitabi, and it is called Eat, Feel, Fresh, and it's available wherever books are sold, and of course on the internet, to Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and a wonderful gift that you can send in advance of Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving, just to thank your friends and family for a wonderful time. And meanwhile, if you want a book for children for Thanksgiving, please get Eileen Spinelli's Thankful. I think it is one of the sweetest, most delightful Thanksgiving books. And it is a book that everybody, as a matter of fact, it should be a tradition to read this book at the dinner table on Thanksgiving. And everybody can pass it around and read a page. It is a children's picture book, but the thoughts are something that every adult should keep in mind. And so if you have children at the table or not, it doesn't matter. And then at the end, you might want to have your guests actually write in the back of the book what they are thankful for. It can become a really lovely tradition that you can continue with your family for years. And that's Eileen Spinelli. And the name of the book is Thankful. And she's been my guest a couple times, and I'm going to have her again to talk about one of her Christmas books. And I will also have her husband, Jerry Spinelli, and they are both absolutely wonderful authors for children's books. So this is going to be part of my holiday series. And meanwhile, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break, commercial break, and we will do that now. So I prepared for whenever Mary Higgins gets on the phone, and I'm so excited to talk to her. So we'll take a quick commercial break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660, or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And I am just waiting for Mary Higgins Clark to call in so that we can talk about her latest book, You Don't Own Me. It is a book that she has done with Alifair Burke, who I got to meet at BoucherCon 2018 that was held here in St. Petersburg. So I'm really excited that Mary is going to be back on the program. Meanwhile, I was thinking about traditions and things that we can do, like buying the book Thankful and having your friends and family write what they're thankful in it. But I was also thinking, there's also always that sort of Wednesday night, you're still preparing for Thanksgiving and you need sort of to keep people busy. And I was thinking of a lovely game that you can play, and it's called charades. And we all know charades, but it's fun if you take specifically one subject to do charades. And Mary Higgins Clark's books are absolutely perfect. And I think she's calling in, so I'm really going to talk to her about that, because it's wonderful to play book title charades with Mary Higgins Clark. There is such a wonderful, wonderful collection of titles, and she has written 63 books, so you have a wide choice. And I'm thinking of how I would do Loves Music, Loves to Dance. That was 1991. I heard that song before in 2007. So if you want a really fun game to play Mary Higgins Clark charades, it will keep you busy all evening. Hi, is Mary there?
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay, Mary. So good to talk to you. You know, I was just telling my listeners that We're starting a family tradition. On Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we're going to play Mary Higgins Clark title charades, because you have such a wonderful array of titles that just would be perfect to play charades. I was just looking at some of the titles, like I Heard That Song Before. That was 2007. Death on the Cape and Other Stories. Boy, that would 1993. Can you imagine all the ways that people can do these titles?
Oh, well, titles are very important for a book. And I have often liked to take a song title or a line from a song that seems, you know, so warm and happy, and get to the dark side of the song.
And you do, as the queen of suspense. You get to the dark side very quickly with... Wow, Mary, the new book is called You Don't Own Me. And, of course, you did it with Alifair Burke. And, you know, I was so thrilled that I got to meet Alifair at the recent BoucherCon.
Oh, Alifair is wonderful. She's a marvelous writer and a marvelous person.
And of course... You started working with her about 5 years ago, and have come out with this wonderful series called Under Suspicion. And the new book, I think, is absolutely terrific.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It just came out a week ago, and it's already on the bestseller list. So, of course, the two of us are delighted. Because when a book comes out, it's like looking at a new baby. Is it healthy? Does it move its arms and legs? It's sort of like that when a new book comes out. Is it a healthy book? Will people like it? Will it be satisfying to the reader? So when it goes on the list this quickly, the answer is yes.
Well, it shoots up to the list immediately, because everybody who reads your books pre-orders them. I'm sure you must be also not only just the queen of suspense, but the queen of pre-orders. Because I know people who, they finish your book. Well, actually, they could be midway, and they're ready to, they look to, can we pre-order it all, the next one? Can we pre-order the next one?
Oh, that is, of course, joy to the world for a writer, that you have readers who are faithful and who follow the books. That's what all writers want, is to feel there are others out there who are looking forward to it. That's when writing becomes a real joy.
Well, it is for you. And, of course, it's a real joy for Simon & Schuster, because they love to get pre-orders.
Oh, of course they do. And they've been a wonderful publisher for me. They bought my first book, Where Are the Children? And... of course, over the years, other publishers have come and asked, can we disenchant you with Simon & Schuster? But my answer is about the country girl who was going to the square dance, and someone came up and spoke to her and asked her to dance. Her escort was not right next to her, and she said, many thanks, sir, but I'll dance with the fellow who brung me.
Well, it's been a wonderful relationship because they do so much for you, and of course you have done so much for them.
Well, it's been a very happy marriage between the two of us, I'll tell you that.
And as I was saying, it was so nice to meet Ella Faire Burke because she was she did the interview with Karen Slaughter at this BoucherCon, which of course I know that you've been at BoucherCons before, and of course you've been the guest of honor, and I think you've done other duties for BoucherCon. So even there, people were talking about you.
Oh, well, that's always nice to know. My God, I was a member of BoucherCon when it was held in a small room. So I have certainly grown with it because, as you know, it's a big event now.
Oh, it is. And we were so lucky that it was right here, and for me, right here in St. Petersburg, and I was able to go to it and just meet so many wonderful people, including Karen Slaughter, who, by the way, you mentioned in the new book.
Now, which daughter was that one?
What? In the new book, You Don't Own Me. You mentioned...
Yeah, of course. Hey, forgive me, I'm getting addled or something because I didn't catch that. But yes, it's always a joy to have a book that people are following and want to read the next one. That's the joy to the world for a writer. And of course, at the BoucherCon, there are so many writers there, and you get a chance to meet, and even names that you haven't ever met before. It's really a get-together of old friends.
Now, the new book, of course, people were already talking about the new book coming out because Ella Faire was there, and so she mentioned the new book and what a joy it is to work with you. And You Don't Own Me is, I have told you before that I always treat your books like a devil's food cake, a Drake's devil. I have to spread it out over 3 days. I cannot eat it up all in one day. I can't read it all in one day because it's you want to savor it.
Well, that's the nicest compliment writers can have, that you enjoy the book so much that you're just looking forward to it that night when you get home. I know I feel that way about some books, that I just want to be able to read it, don't have the phone ring, don't have somebody talking to me while I'm trying to read. I want to get into it.
And we do with your books.
And a feeling for the writer.
Well, this character that you have developed is so wonderful. I feel as if I know Laurie Moran, and right from the very first book, it's just in the series, you just immersed us in her life, so that we care about her. We know her father. We know the people around her, and I was trying to think, when I was trying to analyze why are your books so great? And one of the things is that, as I said, I spread it out over 3 days, but I find myself thinking about it because you have such so many rich things in the book. For example, I love the search for a new apartment, and although you don't write a lot about the real estate agent, You write just enough so we really have a feeling for her. I found myself thinking, well, I hope Lori finds the right apartment. I hope. And, you know, as I'm sort of just driving along the road and I'm thinking about Lori Moran and worrying about if she's going to find the right apartment, I thought that is really how a writer can influence you so much that you're thinking about a character's and the character of a story.
Well, that's what I want you to do. You see, I want you to be her friend and care about her and watching her romance with Alex, will it work or will it not? Because the idea, well, I was a young widow, and of course, thank God, my husband wasn't shot, but I could understand the anxiety of a young woman with a three-year-old child and the fact that her father was willing to give up his very important job to be the protector of her child because he had been threatened. So I can really feel myself knowing those people and enjoying visiting them again, seeing what the new case will be about. It's when you love your characters, it makes writing that much more exciting.
Well, it does, and it comes through. And every character, there are no throwaway characters. I love her father, Leo, and again, that's one of the things that you introduced a judge in the story. And so we're starting to think: is Leo going to find romance? And then, of course, Timmy. I love Timmy.
Well, of course, having had two sons and knowing how they thought as they were kids growing up, and now grandsons, of course, I felt as though I knew Timmy, too. He was a kid that I might have raised.
Exactly, because it's so often in books, the kids are just sort of throwaway characters, or they're so often they're not pleasant characters and sort of complaining and this and that. But Timmy is a well-rounded character, and the fact that he plays the trumpet and likes jazz, all of this makes for an interesting, again, somebody that you think about when you're away from the book. Because I was thinking, you know, because my boys were musical and they played instruments and they love classical music, that this gives Timmy such a wealth of a background for you to draw upon and for readers to think about.
Well, I like that. I mean, again, of course, I raised two boys. But then when I wrote the first one, A Stranger Is Watching, the second book, doesn't matter, I hung around with a friend of mine who had a five-year-old at that time, because I wanted to be sure I was going to catch how a five-year-old would act, react, and think. And it was a great help to me. And all these years later, Neil is pointing out the fact that he was a model of that book.
Well, as I said, each of the characters in the story are, and you do it. I was trying to analyze it, how in just a few lines, really a few words, you tell us about the character. Like the real estate agent, Rhoda, you don't say a lot about her, but just a few things, like her perfume is noticeable or whatever. It's just like, so I started to feel like I knew her, and I'm like trying to say, okay, find the right apartment for Lori. I want you to find. You know, I thought this is when a novelist can really grip you like that. That's something amazing.
Well, the first short story professor I took, and I learned more from him than I ever had to learn from anyone else, because he said, get the description in fast. Don't go on and on about it. And he was a short story writer. And he said the the most reaction I've had, he was writing about an Indian, and he said, or no, Native American now, but he said his stoic expression, and everyone was able to visualize that Indian because his expression was stoic. And that helped me to realize that if you can get some image in, the reader will fill it in himself or herself. And of course it keeps from having tiresome descriptions of people. So that expression from him, his stoic expression, was the way I've tried to learn how to give descriptions without overwhelming you.
Well, it works, because the minute you wrote that Rhoda, and you wrote about her perfume, well, we've all known a Rhoda somewhere in our lives. We've all dealt with a real estate agent who wears this, you know, perfume to really get noticed. And so it just, and I thought, this is so brilliant, and this is just perfect writing.
Oh, well, thank you. Of course, we all try, every writer tries, to tell the best story possible. And the one she is satisfied with, although most of us are never quite satisfied, you can reread the book and say, oh, I would have said this sentence a different way. The one thing I think about myself is I can't sing. I have no music in me. In fact, in school, the nuns would say, Miss Higgins, learn the words. Move your lips. But for the love of God, sing. I wasn't even offended because they were absolutely right. But I do think I have a certain cadence for words, that there is a rhythm in words that I think I have, because a sentence will offend me if it doesn't come out properly. Just have a certain underlying way of telling a story. And that, I think, I was given. My two brothers were good singers, very good singers, but it passed me by so completely. So I say my rhythm is in words.
Well, your fairy godmother certainly sprinkled you with words and how to use them. Because, as I said, when I think about it, not only, of course, are the words just flowing so perfectly, you also are really the queen of suspense. Because it's amazing how every time we read one of your books, you have all these layers, and really it's seamless, that we're not sure what's going on or who's going to turn out to be the bad guy. There's all these little underlying little stories that just carry us through the book. And again, this new book, it's suspenseful.
Oh, I'm so glad you find it that way, because it is like having a new baby. Does it have 10 fingers and toes? Does it look alert? And that's what we want, because no writer, I hope no writer, would take it for granted that this next, anything they put out is okay. I remember that years ago an editor said to me, Mary, you could write the phone book once, because the readers are sharp. If they feel that you're just rattling books out and think that they'll love it, it just doesn't happen. If you turn out some books that are just not interesting, they will say to each other, you know, she used to be good, but now try this one. And that's what a writer must be aware of. The reader is a smart person, and she will not tolerate having something thrown at her.
Well, you really are, you know, a master of this. And I want to say something special about Ella Fair Burke, because we haven't spoken too much about her. You know, I get so excited to talk to you, and I always am telling my listeners about you because I think you're an inspiration to all writers, that you faced adversity. You had to get into, you know, you got into writing because you had a family to support and to take care of, and you've done such a marvelous job. And one of the things, of course, is persistence, that you got up in the morning early before your children went to school and you wrote because you had to do it. And I think that's always inspiring when I talk to writers that, who say, oh, I want to write, I don't write. I say, well, Mary Higgins Clark did it. You can do it.
Well, the idea is that it's terrible to want to write and not write. I mean, older people will say, I know I could write a book. I'm so sorry I didn't get to it. And older people, what you must do is write your own story, because nothing would please your children and grandchildren more than to know the story of how it began and what it was like. So I always suggest just tell your own story and self-publish it if necessary, because it's not expensive to do it. But what kind of present would be under the tree than to have a published book by you that might be called The Way We Were?
Well, that's wonderful advice, and something that partly because of you, I have been encouraging people to do that, because it is important to save these stories. I'm always so grateful that the British, when they traveled the empire, they actually kept their notes, their letters, and put together little books that many times they self-published about their travels. And it's such a rich background for us to be able to read. And that's a wonderful thing to do for your family.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Samuel Pepys, I think it was in the 16th century, was always in court. And he kept a diary, and to read it is just inspiring. He refers to his wife as the poor wretch, you imagine. And then he writes that he has a new wardrobe for court, and describes it, and then says, "I do hope I will be able to pay for it."
Well, those are the kind of things that are, and sort of the eyewitness reports of events that people have seen through their own eyes. When they write the stories, they do live on and are such a treasure for historians.
Oh, really, absolutely wonderful. And you can go back in those times. I read one about Queen Elizabeth the First, and in it, the writer said, "The queen has a bath once a month, although she needs it or not."
Well, that's a kind of thing that it's just wonderful to preserve this knowledge and this the things that we have seen with our own eyes, and to keep them for the generations to come.
I think so. I do think so, because when we read about the past, it puts the present into a form, into perspective. That's the big word. When we read about the past, the present becomes, Lord God, I am losing it.
No, not at all. I don't have much time, but I do want to mention that, you know, the new book is You Don't Own Me. It is available wherever books are sold. People should go to your website. I love your website. It has a lot of information about you and your books. I love that on the front page it says, sold over 100 million books. I don't know. Simon & Schuster should do a running tally so that it changes. Every time a book is sold, it should do a click, 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 you know. That would be great.
Well, thank you. It's always a joy to have a new book out. It's always a joy to talk about it. And so it's a great pleasure to have been with you, Patsy. And you bring out questions that are interesting to me and fun to talk about.
Well, Mary Higgins Clark, I think you are the most amazing author. I love your books. I've loved your books since 1975. When I read the first one, I said, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. I was so excited. I remember that. And that was Where Are the Children? That was your first book. Well, not your first book, but we know what happened with your first book. But it's so exciting always for me to talk to you. And I know that in 2019 you already have a title for the next book is Kiss the Girls and Make Them Cry.
Yes.
Are you editing that now?
I kissed the girls and made them cry. Well, it isn't about Georgie Porgy, but it's about girls in danger from some man who is trying to get rid of them.
Ooh.
Because he had come on to them, and he's so afraid they'll talk about it.
You are so accurate. You're always right there. You're right. Your books are just so much fun to read. I'm telling you, it's just so exciting to read your books, and I'm just so thrilled that you were on the program today, and you'll be back in 2019 to talk about the next book, right?
I hope so.
Absolutely.
If you have me, I'll
well,
come.
I'm going to book you. I'm booking you, and you're going to be back on, and because I just think you are absolutely delightful.
Patsy, you are very, very kind, and thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now, Mary. Bye.
Bye.
Whoa. That is fun. She is wonderful. The new book is fantastic. It is right here. It's You Don't Own Me. It's a beautiful cover, too. And I want to thank everybody. Remember what I say, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. And I want to also say special thanks to Glenn Erickson for sponsoring the program. And next Tuesday, my guest is going to be David Baldacci to talk about his new book and his it's a completely new series about an FBI agent, and he's writing it from a female perspective. So that should be fascinating. And what else? Oh, I can't think of everything. I do want to say I hope that you get also this wonderful book, Eat, Feel Fresh, by Sahara Rose Kitabi. And go to her webpage. And also follow me on Facebook. My Facebook is Radio Joy on Paper. And I will be posting my version of her recipes so you can see if I managed to copy her, because they're really interesting. And meanwhile, make sure that you say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. And thank everybody who is going to my Facebook page, because I'm getting a lot of likes, and I appreciate it, and I really do. And bye-bye. Bye-bye now.